Thank you, Tim, appreciate your time. If you want to say to one year, I feel so out of place because of faith, but I'm not a preacher, I guess, so I do a little speaking, but I'm very corporate, but I'm not one. I apologize, certain year that I don't know of yet, coming to you guys, and it's hard, I think, to...
You what?
But I'm not good at meeting people. I apologize, yes. And I'd like to stay here, all the speakers today, I really enjoyed the ones that spoke so far. If I should say something, I'd have a lot. It's good to see everyone, I've enjoyed everyone so far, as I wish I could say, but I mean, but my topic was a charitable background. You start with Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 32, we probably give you a big chance, look over. Ephesians 5, 22 through 32. Says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and he is Christ, and the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, if the church is subject unto Christ, and let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands love your wives, and as Christ also loved the church, and gave to their Lord, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men also saw men to love their wives even as their own bodies did, though his wife loved himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, nourished it, and cherished it yet, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall men leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we see here the church being pictured as the bride of Christ, as his bride. Christ died for the church. He gave himself for it. And he's pictured here. He's the head of pictured as the church. So we see the church pictured as the bride of Christ. Christ died for it, gave himself for it. You said he would build this church? And you know he did. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we know he built the church, and he added to save to it, according to the eternal purpose of God. In Acts 2:47, praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, that you should be saved. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose, which is purpose, Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we see the church described in several ways. Described as the kingdom, the body, the house of God, the church of the firstborn, and also as God, as Christ's bride. Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, this bed. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt find on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Peter 2:3-5. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to them coming as unto a living stone, disallowed in thee of men, but chosen of God and precious. He also is light of the stone that built up in his of a spiritual house, and hold a priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices except from God by Jesus Christ. And then look again at Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. are no more strangers in foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building, if it frame together, goeth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. So we see all these things described in the church. All these things do, but we also see it described as the bride of Christ. We know Christ married to only one bride. We're looking at Ephesians 5. Bride of Christ. Christ married a fool and woman. But only find one bride. He only built one church. It was ready in Matthew 16:18. When people heard the gospel and believed and obeyed, as we read in Acts 2, they heard, they believed, they were picked in their hearts. And that's what they must do. They were told. And as Brother Tony said this morning, 3,000 souls were added. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Peter told them what to do, and they obeyed. Acts 2:41. If they had failed to receive his word and were baptized, the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the Lord added to the church those that should be saved. In Acts 2:47. Praising God and having dwelt with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily, so that you should be saved. We know the Lord purchased it with his own blood. The apostle says in Colossians 1:18, that Christ is the head of the body. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have his preeminence. In Romans 12:5, we're told we are one body. Christ. Romans 12, verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ. And every one member, one of another. So we're all members in Christ. We're all the church. We're his bride. That's the church described as being the bride, as the bride. It's your relation to Christ, we're told, to become dead to the law. By the way, by the body of Christ. That we should be married to another, even him who is raised from the dead. We know we're not married to any old law, but we're married now to Christ. Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So here we are pictured as being married to Christ. Dead bride. When Paul preached in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2, and I rather, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We know people believe and were baptized. We know they become a church. Part of his bride. Acts 18, verse 8. In Christmas, the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord all his house, and many of his correct and curious believed and were baptized. We know he then wrote, for I have despised you to one husband, that I may proceed to a chaste virgin to God. To Christ. A chaste virgin to Christ. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So we know those who are in the church are married to Christ, because the church is his bride. Christ does not have many brides. He has only one, the church, so he is his bride. Christ has the husband, head of the church. Once again, the husband is the head of the wife, even if Christ is the head of the church. You know, in this day and time, this is not all pretty popular. I mean, sometimes I'm like, say the husband is dead. We know it's tried and true, God's word. But we know it is God's word. God said it. God believed it. We can't change it. We
but it's his way, his plan. So we must accept it and obey it and keep it, as he said. But to be as a chaste virgin to Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, fitted all in all. We know his ship means authority and responsibility. It's a big responsibility. Adam was first born within Eden. The woman was in it, was to be a help to him, for he, a suitable part for it. 1 Timothy 2, verses 13 and 14. For Adam was first formed in Eden, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So we know from that time the man has been responsible for the wife. To love, protect, and cherish her, he's responsible. Christ has all authority. He has all the authority. He's the head over us. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power to be unseen in heaven and in earth. So he is the head of all things to the church. We read in Ephesians 1:22. And he loves and protects and cherishes you. His bride. Jesus Christ died on Calvary for his bride. Jesus said to his disciples, better love that no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Find this in John 15:13. Greater love that no man than this, that a man may turn his life for his sin. So we know the Lord Jesus said, he died for us all. He died for all. Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. For scripture, for a righteous man will one die. If hurt vision, a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To live with us in this verse, it's his pride. All mankind. He died for all mankind to be saved, dead on the obey. I know Christ also loved the church. He gave himself for it. In order that the church could live, Jesus died. The shedding of his blood was to affect the life of the church. Through Christ's death, the church come to be. We can become a part of that church and be his bride. Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God that he hath purchased with his own blood. So we know God said the life is in his blood of the church. The blood is in Christ's blood is the life of the church. Genesis 9 verse 4. The flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, where it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. We know Christ shed his blood and makes atonement for us. Deuteronomy 12, verse 23. Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, but the blood is the life, and thou mayest not eat the life but the flesh. We also know that we do eat the blood of Christ. We eat the body of Christ, his grace, and drink his blood, that we may have life. And we take the communion in the same morning. But we know without the blood, the church could have no life. Spiritual life is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 9. What's more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Ephesians 1 verse 7. And then we have redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So his death established the New Testament. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, or the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We know this blood was also to take away sins. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law, perfect blood. And without shedding of blood, no remission. So we know this year, we see the sacrifices made in the old law, and we see Jesus making the sacrifice of his new blood once and for all for us. When Christ died for the church, his blood was Fence up from all season. Purchase the church, that's 2028. And we know the price of that to be pure. That's one purity in his right. All over 7th Street and 7th Street. That he might present the great chase virgin, pure virgin, right. Jesus died for us, that he might live for him. 2 Corinthians 5:15. That he died for all, that they which live do not misfulfill unto themselves, but unto him which died for him and rose again. So we don't live any longer in sin. Says God forbid, we live any longer in sin. If we're dead to sin, we can't live any longer either. We're not living sin and darkness, but we're living the light of the Lord, living Christ. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So we see we're the walk in that light, we've been that light. To continue to live in sin is spiritual adultery. And we are warned of this in James. We don't want to be out spiritual adultery. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So Paul describes pride in the church as a husband and wife. We see this in Scripture. And we can't have spot or blemish and keep being things. We know we can't have spiritual adultery. We're married to Christ. He's not going to tell us unfaithful. We're unfaithful. We're going to hear God's heart. We're in Ephesians 5:27. It says, when husbands love your wives, even Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her, washing the water by the word, that he might present it to himself in glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. Without blemish. That's the way he wants his bride. That's the way we've got to be as a church, his bride. We know that is God's plan for the church. And we should be holy. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I. We know God is holy, Christ is holy. We've got to be holy too. The purity commanded of the Lord, likened by the inspired writer as a pure virgin. And our dedication should be such. We need to be pure. We need to be without spot or wrinkle. Pure and perfect. We need to put Christ first in all things. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We forsake self to put the Lord first. We put him first in everything and keep him first. We need to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. We can't serve the world and serve God. We must come out and be separate from the world. We can't be like that. We'll be having spiritual adultery. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. If that's not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So we see the importance of not being part of the world. Not letting the world get a hold of us, not going back into the world. But we've got to be pure without spot and blemish. The Lord will not permit anybody's loyalty. His bride must be true, pure, and holy. Jesus is Lord and Savior of his bride. As we know this before, Christ is the head of the church. But continue reading in Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Christ is the Savior of the body. Christ saves the church. The body will get right. When people were baptized 2,000 years ago, as the record shows in Acts 2:41-47, then that better received the word was baptized, the Lord added the church that should be saved. We know Christ is the only Savior. He's going to be the Savior. He's the one to save his bride and come back for it. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So that's the only way we can have salvation, is by Christ. When he saves people, he adds them to his church, which is his bride. And we've become a part of the bride of Christ today, just as they did then. We do today. Same thing, there is no other. We obey the same gospel. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also the Greek. Those people heard the gospel, believed, and were baptized. We must hear the gospel. We must believe. We must obey. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and rise to walk in the new life. We're married with Christ. We've got to keep pure and holy without spot and blemish. We know His blood continues to clean us when we walk. The Spirit will walk after us. We've got to be faithful to death, child of God. Acts 18 and verse 8. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And he and the Corinthians also, Corinthians here who believed and were baptized. Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Ephesians 5, 3 and 6, that he might sanctify and finish with washing of water by the word. We see the importance of obedience to the gospel and living faithful to death. So we're the bride, we've got to be that pure, holy, without blemish and spot. And of those that obey the gospel, they are in the church. That was the bride of Christ, then and also today. Are we part of the bride of Christ? The one bride for which he died and shed his blood for? We know the bride which he is saved by him. The bride which he is coming back for. He's coming back to receive his bride. We need to be a part of it. We want to be saved. We've got to be a part of his bride. We've got to be in the church and be his bride. We know Christ died for us. He gave his life that we might have life. If we hope to be with him in glory, we must be with him here. Be up for him. Be a part of God's family. Be obedient unto death. And in heaven, we'll be always to enjoy. We hope that we're only in Christ. We must continue in his word and be his children. John 8, verse 31 and 32. Then confused to those few which believe on him. If ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples and neighbors. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've got the word, and we've got the truth. That's what will make us free. We have a wonderful place prepared for us. It's a place too wonderful to imagine. It's for his bride. He's coming back for us. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. My father's house would be mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive him for myself, where I am. There you may be also. Then John 14 and verse 4. And whether I go, you know the way. John 14 and verse 6. He said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So we see he's the only way to get to God through Christ. That's the way we've got to go. Without God, without Christ, we are without hope. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved us that he sent his Son to reconcile us back to him. God gave us a plan. Jesus Christ paid the ransom for us. He made a way for us. Don't let his blood be in vain. Don't pass up some great salvation in Christ, heaven for our home. We know the Father has done his part. Christ has done his part. Now we've got to do our part. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, where he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, man is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we know the day of the day of salvation. We don't want to wait too long. We can live for him, we can be his bride, and he's coming back for us. dumpster, right? You want it to be. Right. That's the budget. Gonna be his bride, and he's coming back for it. He's gonna see, take home with me with him, start that place for it. That's the thought I had, that he's wanting to do. Job is really good, could have done it, that first meeting, you probably done a better job than that, but I thank you for your attention.